Welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast, your number one source for all things entertainment. Join host Marco Mazzola and his fellow ranters as they sound off on the latest movies, TV, and the world of entertainment. Now, here are your ranters for the hour, Marco, Mila, Larry, and Bruno.
Hello and welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Marco Mazzola. And once again, I have with me my wonderful, amazing wife, Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
All right, gang. We are brought to you by the Subculture Podcast Network. Check us out online at subculturepod.com.
I don't know.
I'll fix that later. All right. Gang, we are here talking about Million Dollar Quartet, an amazing, amazing production at the North Shore Music Theater, Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater in Beverly, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Once again, your production, producing artist director, artistic director is Kevin Hill. This is directed by Greg Santos and, of course, brought to us by Bill Haney.
It's running from September 24th to October 6th of this year.
Yeah.
And we saw it on Wednesday night.
So
24th.
Yes.
The 25th.
So we are going to talk about this, and we're kind of going to gush all over this. I know for you, this is what you said, one of your favorite ones for the year. So if we kind of feel like we say that every time, but
like, I don't know
they
if
keep
it's,
outdoing themselves.
Yeah. I don't know if it's my favorite one for the year. I will say that. I really, really liked it, though.
Yeah.
Like, my husband didn't know, but I'm a big Johnny Cash fan.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of knew, but I knew you liked Johnny Cash, but I didn't realize how much you liked Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah. No,
so we'll get into this.
I really like Johnny Cash.
So this is basically the story of one night, right?
December 4th, 1956.
There you go. So, music producer.
Music producer Sam Phillips,
right,
who owns Sun Records.
Brought together four of his, basically the biggest stars he helped to create and found and produce for, under Sun Records.
So Elvis Presley was no longer under contract with him. He had
discovered.
He did.
Is what I'm saying. He discovered Elvis.
He did.
He discovered Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and of course Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes.
And he signed them under Sun Records for a period of time until, you know, everything started changing. And like you said, Elvis was sold to
RCA.
Okay. And that was basically to pay the bills at Sun Records. So this was one night that they all came back together and basically did, you know, a jam session for quite a bit of time. And they were, so it was like sort of a legend, mm-hmm. you know, in rock and roll where they all, like one night only, all came together to do this amazing recording. So that's basically what the play is based on. And I gotta tell you, like, I knew obviously who Elvis was. I knew Jerry Lee Lewis. I knew who Johnny Cash was. Carl Perkins, I was less familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't quite exactly sure. And there was some surprises, like, right? We didn't realize that Blue Suede Shoes was his song.
It's a Carl Perkins song.
It's a Carl Perkins song made famous by Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show.
But Carl Perkins wrote it, produced it,
and sung it originally,
and recorded it on Sun Records.
Yes. So yeah, that was an interesting part of the story that I didn't know about. Let's go into it because this was, I mean, it was, again, it might not be just subject wise.
Yeah.
Not my top of the line for this year, but an unexpected hit for me personally, yeah. Right? This is just an unexpected wow show that, mm-hmm. I'm not as musical as, let's say, you. We missed Billy, unfortunately, wasn't able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
This was definitely up his alley, so we definitely missed him for this one. But, like I said, I loved it far more than I thought I would, simply because I'm not as into the music stuff as you are, right? But it was definitely, it blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
It blew me away, the songs, the thing. So some of the things that really stood out for me,
mm-hmm.
was the fact that, first of all, there was no orchestra.
Yes.
So the actors / singers / musicians were all on stage. So the actors sung all their songs and played all their own musical instruments. Mm-hmm. So all the musical instruments on the stage stuff were live.
Yes.
And that was just incredible for me.
It was incredibly impressive,
yes.
I have to say. Like, they were... you know, they were performing and embodying these characters at the same time as playing, it was just incredible to watch them play their own instruments. Like, yes. We had seen, you know, when we saw Beautiful a couple of years ago, that piano we know now
right.
didn't have any guts
to
it,
right.
Right? That she was just
the orchestra was playing
play.
And she was pretending to play, right?
But they were...
Which was, again, still impressive, but...
But they were actually playing.
Yes.
Which was wonderful.
And singing and, you know, zipping in and out of their acting lines as mm-hmm. well as then hitting. And again, sounding very much like the original artists as well as portraying them
mm-hmm.
and singing the songs and acting and playing the music, the instruments, while keeping it going. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's super hard. And when you're doing it live on stage... In front of an audience, that, of course, increases the difficulty and ups the ante big time, right? Because, you know, in a movie set or TV, you can cut, you can stop, you can re-roll. You know what I mean? This is all three has to be rolled into one seamlessly. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was absolutely seamless.
Yeah. Well, it was, I mean, I think it was really incredible to watch. Clearly, everyone on stage was a talented musician. Mm-hmm. I will say, Brandon Follett, who played... Jerry Lee Lewis, who apparently has played Jerry Lee Lewis
yeah.
in several different productions of this,
thing, yeah.
in his bio. I mean, he was exactly like I imagined Jerry Lee Lewis actually was in yeah. his life.
Yes.
Like if I had to have a conversation with him, if I had to, it was really, it was crazy. Like he was jumping around, he was doing the things where he's playing with his feet or his
yeah.
elbows or...
Yeah.
That all that weird, crazy stuff that Jerry Lee Lewis did
was
his
yeah.
gimmick. And, you know, he really, really was, I mean, he was entirely musical while he did it.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yes, to watch his sort of antics. He was the younger guy of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And the least mature, if you will. Let's put it that way.
And the least famous at
the
that point,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Like, he hadn't hit it big yet.
Yes. So to watch him sort of playing the petulant role... And, you know, zipping back at them with piano tunes when their ass is up and he was kind of poking fun. It was really funny to watch.
Yeah.
He definitely played that character well and embodied him. So that was interesting. And again, it's one of those shows like the Elvis show, things that like I find out stuff about people, you know, real people,
mm-hmm.
you know, that lived and things they don't necessarily know, I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always fun for me. Like I always, like I said, I always like, I love history. So to learn like biographical stuff about people. The guy who played your favorite, Johnny Cash.
Blake Burgess.
Right. Unbelievable.
He was more Johnny Cash than Joaquin Phoenix in Walk the Line.
Yes.
He was, I mean, the voice.
Well, don't get me started on Joaquin Phoenix, but go ahead.
The singing, the voice, just, you know, he was the man in black.
Yeah.
And the best thing was at the very last song at the end, he said it.
Yes.
He said, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash."
Yep.
It was awesome. Oh,
I don't think I've
awesome.
Ever seen Walk the Line. Probably well, I'm not a Joaquin Phoenix fan, but I can't really picture him playing Johnny Cash.
Yeah, well,
but
he did.
We
it was
digress.
Incredible.
We move on. I'll have to catch it at some point.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this gentleman who played Johnny Cash, like again, I've seen Johnny Cash, not like you have. I've watched him. I didn't realize how different he plays the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's holding a shotgun.
Yeah.
He's holding a rifle, you know what I mean? So his arms are wrapped around the back end of it, so the bottom end of the guitar versus over the top. You know what I mean? So it always looks like he's shooting a gun when he's playing. I thought that was really interesting. He held that through the whole time. Like, he really did well.
Yeah. Johnny
the
Cash, I mean, I forget how he learned to play, but he was not like, you know, he grew up very poor.
Yeah.
He went to the army because that was the only option for him. Like, it was very, you know, he didn't take music lessons, obviously. He just learned to play.
Yeah.
And that was how he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the other things. So we had Elvis and his girlfriend, Diane, basically.
Diane,
at the time. She was incredible.
Yeah, her
voice the
beautiful.
Actress. Give us her name.
Haley Lucille.
Yes. Incredible. She played that character. We obviously knew nothing about this person, essentially, that she even existed.
You still don't really know a lot about her.
No.
You know, I mean, it's really... It's done on purpose. I mean, she lends a different layer to the show.
Yes.
And different tension, but, right. You know, you don't really know anything about her.
Also kind of a buffer between the guys and
yeah,
stuff like that.
For
she
sure.
kind of was acting as that. go between to kind of settle people down and kind of almost like the communicator. When they were having trouble communicating, she was there to help, you know, pass information to each other and smooth things over to a certain extent. I'm watching Jerry Lee Lewis essentially hitting on her the entire time. You know how many times everybody else told him to knock it off and he couldn't stop. So that was kind of funny. But what were your really favorite parts of the show, would you say? I mean, it's amazing. It's hard to pinpoint because it is such an amazing show. But
so I really enjoyed, I mean, I like all this music anyways.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed her when she did, when Diane sang Fever. I thought that that was a particularly, that she did a particularly good job with that.
Yeah. It is different too, because it's a different tone to the show. So much of it's very rockabilly, you know what I mean, type music and things like that. So when she comes out with that very sultry, you know what I mean, number, was, it was different. So it, was, it added a nice shift into the show a little bit, you know.
Yeah, but I also, you know, I mean, besides hearing the Johnny Cash songs, watching Jerry Lee Lewis perform, particularly, you know, Great Balls of Fire, or he does the final number in the show, a whole lot of shaking going on, and he was complete Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, just all over the place. It was interesting, the songs that they picked at the end.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that, like, Great Balls of Fire wasn't the last one, and they didn't, like, switch it. I think, I mean, obviously they're both very well-known songs, but like, if I think Jerry Lewis in my head, it's it's Great Balls of Fire. So, you know, and not, I'm not saying they did the wrong thing by picking that. That's not what I'm saying at all. I was just surprised that that's not the one that they ended with. You know what I mean?
Well, I
I mean, don't get me wrong. The one they ended with was...
Yeah, it was stellar.
It was stellar. It was on fire. Everybody was up and dancing and moving and...
I think, you know, Hound Dog for Elvis is very... I mean... It's one of the things he's known for.
Sure.
Ghost Riders in the Sky for Johnny Cash. Not what I would have picked, but it's like, it's kind of haunting and very like, you know, walks that like bluesy line that he had between that and like the gospel music and the more religious pieces that he did.
Yeah.
And it's, it really showcases his voice and like how low he can go.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the first time I ever heard See You Later, Alligator. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah? That's so funny. But yeah, yeah, I mean, we keep kind of leaving out Carl Perkins because I think he, for us, he's sort of the least known, oddly enough, out of the four. Although he seemed like one of the first ones that was out the gate with them, which I like. That's a different part of the show I wanted to talk about, was that, you know, it was mainly focused on that night when they're all together. But very seamlessly, they would zip in and out, almost on the sideline, showing you how they all became to know to be at Sun Records. Do you know what I'm saying? Like this little sort of like, you know, back in time, you know, back, you know what I mean? This little zip in time where you get this little, oh, it always does that when I talk about the past. You know, it, they go in the past and talk about it. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really fun and really well done. You know, like it didn't need to, it, and the set obviously didn't really shift at all. A couple of times they moved the piano for Jerry Lewis to be in the center, like once or twice, but that's it. Other than that, the instruments were on stage, it was Sun Records, and it was that one set, the entire show.
Yeah, people moved around a little bit, but...
You know what I mean? Yeah, they moved around, stuff like that, but very little of the set moved around.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? So like, that was new, right? We're used to when we go to the show, and things are constantly being brought on and taken off and moved, and we're at this scene now, and now we're over here in this part of the town or whatever. This is all basically in that one room. And it worked! I mean, it definitely kept my attention the whole time.
Well,
it didn't seem slow or, you know, uninteresting. Like, it was, you know, so that goes into the script, obviously. That talks about that, gives kudos to the script and, of course, the music. And, of course, the actors, the way they keep your attention the whole time was pretty awesome.
I mean, I also think it's really, like, it's classic subject matter. Who doesn't know Elvis Presley? Who doesn't know who these guys are? I mean, apparently me, I don't, I didn't know Carl Perkins, but, like, you know. But the other three, of course I knew.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I mean, it's hard not to know Elvis. Like, he's a cultural icon. You have some familiarity with that.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, if you didn't know Johnny Cash before Walk the Line, maybe you do now. Like, you know, all of those things. I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis is Jerry Lee Lewis. And everybody knows he married his 14-year-old cousin.
Yeah.
So there's that. But, you know, lots of
Dennis
Quaid
played him in the movie. Which I think he did a great job.
Yeah. Well, not the of this, the movie of Million Dollar Quartet.
No, just Jerry Lee Lewis's biography, basically.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, this is, I think, there is a lot of action, but it isn't achieved with the moving of the set or the changing of the scene. It's more the drama about, like, you know, Sam Phillips finding these guys, signing these guys, and then them moving on.
Yeah, losing the guys, essentially.
Losing the guys, essentially. Well, he chose to let go of Elvis because he needed to pay the bills.
Yeah.
He needed that money from RCA. But, you know, the biggest moment of tension comes at the end when he's trying to get Johnny Cash to re-sign.
A 3-year contract.
Yeah, and Cash tells him he signed with Columbia.
He's already signed. Yeah, he already did it.
He already signed with Columbia. And then Carl Perkins
and his
band says the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sam's kind of having a crisis.
Yeah.
Because what's he going to do?
But he's also getting sort of courted by,
RCA.
RCA to sell Sun Records to them and be a part of RCA.
Yeah.
And basically work for them because I think they realize, like, you know, he might not have all the distribution because Sun Records is a smaller operation, but he himself is valuable because he's the one who discovered these amazing artists. So that's his talent.
Yeah.
His talent is discovering and bringing along amazing talent. Maybe not distribution and all the other stuff and creating these, you know, things, but it's the talent. So they need him to do that.
Absolutely. RCA was courting him to try to get him
in.
I mean, later you find that he signs Roy Orbison and Charlie Rich.
Yeah.
And he also recorded, you know, blues singers like B.B. King and Ike Turner.
Well, there you go. Well, you get good with the bad. the bad with the good.
Well, I mean, you know, there is. But those are impressive names. Those are a lot of very impressive names. And Sam
For a quote-unquote smaller operation.
Well, because you get people when they're small.
Yeah.
And this is a time when, you know, to make it in music, you can say what you want, but you really had to be talented. You had to have skill.
Yes.
You had to have, like, you had to be able to play the guitar. You had to actually be able to sing. You had to be able to do all these things.
Yeah.
Write your own music.
Yeah.
You know, come up with lyrics and things like that. And
my question, and this is just a question, not a statement, more of, like, is it easier back then? Is it harder back then? You know, it's one of those things where, like, rock and roll obviously was in its very infancy. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, now, if you look at it, and they say everything has been sung, every word has been written, everything, you know what I mean? Like, we're basically re-churning so much. But it is, like, if you listen to music so much, like, oh, I hear that in the, or this chord is like the, I mean, how many love songs? How many, you know what I mean? Like, then, the music you heard, you'd never heard it before because rock and roll was new. Do you know what I'm saying? So, not that, again, I am not a musician. I couldn't create a hit to save my life. Okay, so I'm not saying, hey, I could have done it better, but it's almost like, well, there isn't anything out there. So if I put something out there, it has a better chance, as long as it's quality and it's good. Like you said, they're good singers. They can play their instruments, things like that. You have a better chance of it becoming a hit. Because, again, I mean, they were still churning out music pretty intensely back then.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think it's probably even more so now. But now it's a lot more sort of digitized and churned out and boxed and, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think now there is some room for creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think, but not as much as there used to be.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like not, I mean, I'm not saying everyone wrote their own music. I saw the Carole King musical.
Yeah.
I know she wrote, like, she and her first husband wrote, like, every good song for a decade.
For other people. Yeah.
Before they wrote for themselves. But, you know, it was very, it just feels to me like these are things that require a lot of skill.
Yeah.
And I think you can become famous in other ways without having as much skill now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's it. I think that's the switch. Like, that's the difference, right?
It was...
I think back then it was more about the music and the, you know, than it is today. Now it's more about the popularity and the looks and the vibe. It's, you know, does Johnny Bravo fit the suit?
Yeah.
We don't care what you sound like because we can edit it up, but do you fit the suit?
You go back to my friend Johnny Cash, who's not a super performer. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash, right? And he sings and he has this beautiful voice.
Yeah, he wasn't boisterous and all over the place like Elvis.
Or Jerry Lewis.
Forget it, he was.
You know what I mean?
yeah.
cocaine there, maybe. But
who knows?
Who knows?
Not trying to defame Jerry Lewis.
No, of course not. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, that behavior is not normal.
Yeah.
Something is incorrect there. So, but I think it's different, and you could engage with it very differently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to say I don't want to be a boomer and say nobody has talent anymore, because I don't believe that. I think
there are very talented people. Absolutely. No, that's definitely not true.
Yeah, I think there are very talented people in music right now. There's still
plenty of people doing out there that I couldn't do.
Well, I mean, honey, neither one of us are particularly musical. So
no, I can't carry a note in a bag. But
yeah, doesn't take much to outdo us. But, you know, it feels very different. And I think, you know, I still don't believe that every note has been sung or everything has been written. That's crazy.
It's crazy talk to you?
It's crazy talk.
It's crazy talk to you. I don't know. I still kind of believe it, you know. It's so much. And honestly, it goes for a lot of other media, too, like television and movies. Like, somebody like this, you know, there's so much, but it's like, yeah, we've kind of seen this before. It's very, like, the, you know, the three acts and the this and the you know, the person yeah, does, but, you know, and okay, I see where this is going.
But there's a lot of tropes now that don't work anymore.
Sure.
Like, you look at a lot of old sitcom tropes, they're all destroyed by the advent of the cell phone.
I know. So much.
You know?
Even shows like Frasier or Friends.
Yeah.
You know, when cell phones were just becoming a thing, still, they weren't, like, as widely used as today. So, like, a lot of the misidentities, or I didn't get to the right place because I wasn't able to talk to you. It was like, yeah, you have a cell phone, now just text the person. And
yeah.
That solves the issue. You know what I mean?
Right. But getting back to Million Dollar Quartet, was there a song that you particularly enjoyed?
I'm still a great Balls of Fire guy. I liked it. I really liked the way he did it. During that period of the show, when they were doing them, the songs were kind of broken up, right? They would sing some, and then they would, you know, sort of go off to the other part of the stage
mm-hmm.
and watch, like, let's say, Diane and the other guy talking.
Yeah.
And then they cut back into the guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was seamless. Like, the way they did it was magical. Like, the way they were, you know, okay, we're over here talking,
yeah.
and then, boom, the lights go back on the guys, and they just pick up the song.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire time, which I really liked, is that, like, the drummer and the bass players would continue just, like, doing sort of a background.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You could hear the kind of music, the vibe happening, and they'd cut back to the singers, and they would, you know, the lights go back, and they'd continue the song. So the only thing rough for me is, like, I want to hear the song. And I don't want to hear a song broken up. It's like having a commercial in the middle of a song.
No.
I mean, an important commercial. We needed to find out the information that they were talking about. I was like, I want to hear that song. I want to hear the whole thing without a break. Yeah, that's it. I mean, and it's not a criticism. It's just like, get ready for it. But you know, understand that that's going mm-hmm. to happen. The other thing you got to understand is happening, and they told us about this when we walked in, is like, the show kind of ends, but it doesn't end. Then they have the big 4-song finale. So don't get up and leave.
Yeah.
They're worried, like, I guess, I don't know if that happened, or just they just wanted to make sure that people didn't think the show was over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do the sort of big, you know, and they take that, you know, they do the picture.
Yeah.
You know, that memorable picture of all four of the guys that is out there in reality. And I mm-hmm. thought that was great. The screen's lowered that we saw from Frozen.
Yes.
And, like, you know, so the producer, he snaps, he's like, all right, guys, get into the picture. And the guys are all standing there at the piano doing the exact pose that the original performers did. And as soon as he snaps it, the photo goes up on all the screens the original. So I loved that. I thought that mm-hmm. was awesome. Like, the way they pulled that together. That was really cool.
I really enjoyed.
But then again, there's four, so, you know, they kind of lower the guys off the stage, you know, through the center. And then there's four songs afterwards. So stick around.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed, I mean, I knew almost every single song in the show, but I really enjoyed Down by the Riverside
mm-hmm.
and Peace in the Valley, just because those aren't things that you hear as much. And they had, I thought, the most harmony
mm-hmm.
and the most really showcased their voices the most. I really enjoy that. I enjoy the harmonizing and the, you know, the way that the music comes together
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and flows.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really beautiful. Yeah.
It's a very different show than we're used to seeing there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah, it truly was.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I liked the difference, right? I love the orchestra, the normal orchestra they have all the time. They're amazing. But it was different not to have the orchestra and have the guys, you know, the people on stage playing. Like, that was really cool. I thought that was a nice mm-hmm. switch up, and I really appreciated that.
Well, you need the, I mean, you need the correct show to do it, right?
Yeah.
And this was absolutely it.
Yeah. It was, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Is this a show you would see again?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without a second thought.
Yes. And I'm sorry. I know this is going to drive you crazy, but I have to talk about it. Hopefully next time we go, there aren't two people behind or next to us talking the whole time.
Okay. Why do we have to go this, there?
Because it's a PSA for everybody who goes to the theater. I'm sorry. The two ladies sitting next to us did not shut up the entire second act. They were having a full-blown conversation about the show. They were talking right next to you, on the other side of you, and they were so loud, I could hear them.
Yes.
And God forbid, it's obnoxious people. You're going, if you're singing a little bit, or you're they were talking, full-blown conversation about the show during the show. Like, I'm here to listen to the show, not you. Shut up. And I gave them a look, too. They still didn't stop. Like, they could tell I was annoyed that they wouldn't stop, and they just kept talking. So that's just it. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. It's a PSA. You go to a show, have some courtesy. Don't talk through the whole show. All right, we move on. It does, because it. I know I said I would stop, but it does.
You're not stopping.
I know. It didn't ruin the show for me, but it put a mark on it. Like, oh, I'm trying to hear this wonderful show, and there's two yutzes next to us talking the whole time.
Yeah, see, like, and they were sitting next to me, and I gotta tell you, I just concentrated on the show and moved on with my life. I'm not saying it wasn't rude.
It wasn't easy for you either. I saw your face.
Yeah, but I was not gonna let it ruin my good time.
I tried. I tried to zone them out, and they'd start talking louder.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I hear the voice chirping again. Like, oh. So that's it. Anyway, moving forward. Uh-huh. Back to the show.
Yes.
So before we go on, though, let's just talk about what they have coming up. At the North Shore.
Sure.
So we have next up is Titanic the Musical, playing from October 29th through November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. We'll be seeing that one, and of course, podcasting on that one. And then, of course, to round out the year, as we do, December 5th through the 22nd, their 35th anniversary production. I mean, good Lord, God bless them. A Christmas Carol with David Coffey. Like, and that's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really I cannot great. Wait to go this year.
No, me either. And I'm curious about Titanic the Musical.
Yeah, like, it's not based on the movie. It's like an independent production, like right. you know, type of thing.
I'm curious how they will work with the boat and everything.
Sure, I mean it's North Shore. It's a theater in the round. You know it's going to be off the charts. We've seen so many of the things, like they did with Sound of Music, like they did with the Jimmy Buffett, right, Margaritaville,
yeah.
when they're on the plane and doing like these different sort of
the plane. That
right,
was really good.
It was good, right? Like, oh my God, mm-hmm. you kind of really felt it. You know, you really felt that it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see, because I think it's more of a study in like, oh my God, this is so impressive on how they pull it off. That's really what it is for me. I'm excited to see how they're going to pull it off, because they know they will. I just want to see how they go about doing it.
Yeah.
So, again, two shows coming up, Titanic and A Christmas Carol. Make sure you get out there to see it. It's nsmt.org. It's the only place to buy your tickets.
Yes, do not buy them
from scalpers or independent sites and things like that. They're not real sites, and they will gouge you. So nsmt.org is the place to go to get your tickets and find out more information about all the shows and things coming up. I just got an email today because I'm on their email list.
Oh, yeah?
Next year, next to the thing, kid show, Curious George is back.
Oh, nice.
I think we're going to have to take Christian. We might actually last for the whole show this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Not the 15 minutes with him desperately trying to get up on stage to dance with Curious George.
Yeah.
I think this time he'll be able to handle the whole show, since he did Madagascar and Frozen twice.
Loved Madagascar.
Yeah.
And
so,
Frozen too.
Yeah, both at the North Shore. So, yeah. So we're definitely going to have to hit up. And they did they talked about all the shows coming up next year.
They did.
There's another one they can't talk about yet.
Right.
Well, like the Frozen, so we don't know what that one is.
It's the last show of the year.
Last show. What else did they talk about?
They're going to start with, so early this year they did Jersey Boys,
yeah.
And they're going to start with, I forget the name, but it's about the making of Jaws. Something
yes.
about a
like
shark.
The shark, yeah. Something broken shark, or something like, the broken shark or whatever
yeah.
it is. Yeah, yeah.
Which I really would like to see.
Yeah, it's all about the making of Jaws. So that's yeah. really cool.
Yeah.
And what else do they have coming up?
And then they're starting with Waitress first next year.
I know nothing about that.
I'm very excited to see it. My mother knew what it was. So I don't know where you have
left. I don't know if that's a la-di-da or something. I'm not really sure.
I think that's really Where's Your Brain? And then the kids show next year is going to be Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a stage production of Wizard of Oz before, so I'm excited. I think I was... Did we do one? What, I forget. No, that was the year before. In grade school. I'm talking about grade school. I think that was the year before I actually tried to do anything.
And then Grease.
Yes, Grease.
Grease.
So they're bringing back a couple of shows they've done prior, which I think is really cool. Because I see their productions of like what they've done before. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm sorry, I missed that.
And they're between Rent and Ain't Misbehavin'.
Yeah, well, they did the vote in the audience, and everybody chose Rent, so who knows? Who knows? I'm not saying that's exactly what they're going to do, but I'd be happy.
I voted for Rent.
Yeah, me too. Was that it? Oh, I felt like there was something else.
No, and then the fifth one is the one they can't talk about.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you're right. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Christmas Carol again next year.
Yes.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay. So, anything else you want to talk about Million Dollar Quartet?
No.
Any last bits of wisdom or...
No. I think it was really impressively done. It's unique in the fact that everyone's on stage playing the music. Mm-hmm. That I particularly liked. I think it blends... You know, I think that makes it a... different kind of musical. They're all songs you're going to know, or at least the majority of them. And even if you don't know the name, once they start singing them, you're really going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's very cool to watch.
It is.
It's familiar characters. It's easy to get into. So I would absolutely go see it.
A rockabilly good time? Would you put it that way?
No, I would not.
I would.
Okay.
What?
I don't say rockabilly.
Why?
Because I'm from the Midwest.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I'm half Midwestern.
Oh, pardon me. Excuse me. There goes our Midwest audience right down the head. All right. Fantastic. So I thought it was a rockabilly good time. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I would see it again. Yeah, and it's always a thing. Like, we see that, and we definitely, like, listen to the music on the car ride home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? It gets you inspired to listen again to the music, whether you're listening to... the original stage production, which we did, or you go back and bring up some catalogs from some of these artists, these amazing artists, and go listen to some of the originals, which I've also been doing. So, kind of cool. I like that, too.
Very much.
Awesome. All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Million Dollar Quartet, now playing at the North Shore Music Theater through October 6th. Please go get your tickets at nsmt.org, and we'll catch you soon, hopefully. We have some other shows coming. I know we've been kind of absent on the airways. The team has been tough to nail down to get new shows out, but there's some cool stuff coming out. I'm hoping we're going to start talking about the new Agatha show, which was pretty cool, and some other stuff coming up. Plus, there's some great movies. We have not seen the new Beetlejuice movie. I want to see that so we can talk about that on the podcast as well. Yeah, and you'll be happy to know October 1st, Deadpool Wolverine comes out on streaming. I've already pre-ordered it for you.
I am. And speaking of what you people think you're going to watch, if you think you're going to see John Wick in the theater without me.
Oh, the new after, ballerina?
Yeah. After the Deadpool Wolverine fiasco, you better move out.
You better move out. All right, fine. Like I said, well, you didn't have any interest until you saw them and then you really liked them.
Yeah, but you know I like them now.
Yes.
Just like with Deadpool and Wolverine, and you went without me.
You weren't available. So anyway.
I was.
Were you? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll take that one on the chin. All right, gang. Thank you so much for listening. We are Entertainment Rants at entertainmentrants.com. Find us all on our social media, Entertainment Rants, our website. Drop us a line at engageentertainmentrants.com. Let you know what you thought of the show. Let us know if you saw Million Dollar Quartet. Let us know what you thought about. We're interested to hear your thoughts as well. Okay. What are we going to do, Amy?
Let's rant.
Bye, everybody.